You might think I'm crazy for sharing this story. Hell, I felt like I was crazy when it happened to me. But I swear, this is true. And I still don't have an explanation for it. Last year, a buddy of mine was getting married. When the night of his bachelor party rolled around, I was super stoked. Only problem was, I had a shift at work that night. I told the others that I'd join them at the bar as soon as I could. It was 8 p.m. when I finally got off work. I sent a text to my pal telling him I'd be there in 20 minutes. Then I grabbed my jacket and began my walk to the drinking hall. The road between my workplace and the bar was always empty and desolate, with a forest on one side and barren fields on the other. I hated working late, since walking this lonely road always gave me the creeps. On the rare occasions a car drove past and lit up the road ahead with its headlights, I felt more comfortable, even if just for a brief moment. Now, this night was particularly dark. I was using the flashlight on my phone to light the way. The phone rumbled in my hand. It was a message from my buddy. "Okay, see you soon." I was about 5 minutes into my journey when something caught my attention on the left. Far in the distance, in the open field, was a moving shape. A human shape, about 200 meters away. Whoever it was, they were alone, and they were slowly moving towards the road I was on. It seemed odd to me that someone was out there, walking through these empty fields in the dark, all by themselves. Still, I didn't pay it much mind. I continued on, keeping my eyes on the road for a few more steps. When I turned back to look at the distant figure, I was startled by how much closer they were to me now. Maybe only 100 meters away. They were still walking at the same pace a normal person would, but had gained an unnatural amount of ground in the few seconds I wasn't looking at them. It looked to be a tall, thin woman. I was more weirded out now, especially since she seemed to be walking directly at me. I walked a little bit faster, turning my gaze back towards the road. Then, after a few more seconds, I turned back to look at her again. Jesus, she was just 50 meters away now, moving like a moth attracted to the light of my phone. It didn't make sense. How was she getting so much closer every time I looked away? If she was sprinting, it still would have been inhuman. But she was just walking. "Hey," I called out. "Are you okay?" Her only reply was this strange hum. At no point did she stop walking, heading towards me like some kind of demented zombie. I briefly turned my eyes back to the road ahead. Then back to her again. She was almost at the road's edge now, in the blink of an eye, and I could hear her footsteps squelching in the wet grass, slow and consistent. I picked up my pace. "Don't look at her," I thought to myself. "Don't look." The sound of her footsteps had changed. She was walking on tarmac now. I turned to look again. There, just behind me now, was this woman. Her eyes were hollow and pale, her face emaciated. She was just skin and bones, her hair scraggly and light. But the worst part was her mouth. It looked like it had been sewn shut, like with a needle and thread. I wanted to ask her if I could help her with anything, but the words wouldn't come out of my mouth. She looked at me for a few moments, before walking across the road and towards the woods on the other side. I sprinted off down the road, scared out of my mind. I looked behind me to see if she was following. All I could make out was her figure disappearing into the trees. I made it to the bar and rushed inside. Desperate to tell my friends what I'd just seen.
"Dude, good to see ya. What took you so long?" they asked me. "We were all getting worried about you."
Work, like I told you, I replied.
obviously distressed. Whoa, are you okay, bud? We've been waiting for you for like 3 hours. Huh? What were they talking about? I'd sprinted half of my journey. I must have only been 10 minutes max. Confused, I checked my phone. As I did, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. It was 11:15 p.m. I'd left work at 8. I knew I had. The timestamp on the text message I sent my friend confirmed it. Somehow, on the short run from that girl to the bar, I'd lost 3 hours. There's no rational explanation I can come up with. Before this incident, I didn't believe in the paranormal, but I'm certain that the missing time and the girl were in some way connected. That was easily the creepiest experience of my life. It shook me to the bone. And even now, when it's dark, I still take the long way home from work, rather than walk down that lonely road by myself. So this took place way back in the 80s. I was living in Holland at the time, and one of my best friends over there was finally getting hitched. Needless to say, a crazy bachelor party had been planned. The husband-to-be was Ronnie, a real wild child. Now, Ronnie was the kind of guy who wasn't afraid to take on the world. He spoke his mind at all times, and unfortunately for the rest of us, his big mouth got us in trouble on more than one occasion. Regardless, he was a hilarious dude, a real character who was just so much fun to hang around with. Now, for the most part, the night went as planned. We must have consumed every type of alcohol in almost every bar in town. We'd been partying since 2 p.m, so by the time midnight rolled around, well, we were drunk as skunks. That's when Ronnie's big mouth got us into a whole bunch of trouble. We were all being loud and obnoxious people, like people on bachelor parties are. There was some guy standing by the bar. Now, we weren't in the nicest part of town, and this dude looked like the kind of guy you don't mess with. You could tell from the way he was dressed, from the tattoo on his neck, and the hard expression on his face. Speaking of face, this guy looked young. Younger than he actually was, that's for sure. I mean, he had a real mean case of the baby face, put it like that. Ronnie sees this guy, and he just can't help himself. He approaches him and says something stupid like, Whoa, what are this kid's parents thinking, letting him have a beer? Come on, buddy, time for bed. Then he pinched the guy's cheek. You okay, little man? He said a few other stupid things as well, but they escaped my mind. Not cool, I admit, but he was drunk and just playing around. Babyface turns to Ronnie, gives him this big, toothy smile, and laughs at him in an obviously sarcastic way. He then finishes his beer in a couple of big gulps, throws on his coat, and walks out of the bar. Doesn't say a word. Well, that was something, we all think. Anyway, the night goes on. Things start to wind down at around 3 p.m. We all stumble out of the bar and decide to head home. As we make our way down the streets, our numbers start to dwindle. People are branching off and heading their separate ways. After a while, the only people left are myself, Ronnie, and our good pal, Eric, a scrawny but happy chap. We were getting to the end of the street we were on when a van suddenly pulls up ahead of us. The side door slides open, and guess who jumps out? Yeah, the young-looking thug from the bar. And he's not alone. He's brought 4 of his friends with him, and they're all built like tanks. They were holding baseball bats and metal poles, and they had clearly planned to ambush us. That's them, says the young thug in Dutch. When you're staring at 5 gangster-looking, weapon-wielding men with bloodlust in their eyes, you sober up real, real quick. Ronnie, Eric and I turn and bolt. We could hear the footsteps and shouting of the thugs behind us, getting louder and louder as they gained on us. I was certain that if they got their hands on us, we were dead men. We got to a fork at the end of the street. We were just running on instinct at this point, and Derek and I turned left, while Ronnie turned right. I looked back to call for Ronnie, only to see three of the men still chasing behind me and Eric. They were like rapid dogs. There was no way the two of us could handle them. They were laughing as they chased us, yelling about how we were already dead and how we'd messed with the wrong guy. We made it to a turn that led onto a residential street. I leap over the first fence I see and land in somebody's backyard. Eric quickly follows. I grabbed a shovel that was lying on the grass, and the two of us crouched up close against the fence, trying our best to stay hidden. I held the shovel tight and whispered to Eric, "The first one that comes over, I'm gonna hit him." I really meant it. I was gonna hit him on the head and probably kill the guy, but I meant what I said. I knew they'd probably kill us otherwise. Eric and I looked up at the house of the garden we were hiding in. The light in the bedroom window switched on. A middle-aged woman poked her head out. We must have woken her up. She looked down at the two of us, crouching in her yard, holding her shovel. Then she looked to the men chasing us. They had just turned the corner and were standing on the other side of the fence we were hiding behind. "Where the hell did they go?" we heard one say. We were terrified that they'd hear our heavy breaths. All I could do was grip the shovel tightly and prepare to strike. I prayed that I wouldn't miss. I prayed that I could fight the two that were left standing. The lady in the window called out to them, "Hey!" My heart sank. She was about to throw us to the dogs. Beads of sweat formed on my forehead. I closed my eyes. "I saw them. They went that way," said the lady, and pointed down one of the side roads. The thugs bought it and ran off into the night. This angel realized what was going on, and she had just saved our skin. She watched as we hopped over the fence and made a break for it in the opposite direction. We both gave her a nod before we sprinted off. I'd never been so grateful. This was before the days of cell phones, and we had no idea where Ronnie was. We went around to his house, but he wasn't there. We, of course, feared the worst. Thankfully, by the time the morning rolled around, he had re-emerged. He'd managed to slip away from the thugs, laid low for a while, and made it home without them following him. To this day, I'd say that's the closest I've come to dying. In hindsight, those guys must have been watching us from afar for a few hours, waiting for most of our group to leave so they could strike. They wanted Ronnie, but were more than happy to attack Eric and I, just for being friends with him. Luckily, we all escaped, and Ronnie got to marry his blushing bride and have a few kids. Never did learn to keep his mouth shut, though. Crazy Dutch bugger.